At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Off the Balls cash machine.
We've given away hundreds of thousands of euro across the Go Loud network of stations.
For your chance to win, tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast weekdays from 7:30 on the Off the Ball app, and we'll give you the all-important cash amount.
Oh my God.
Off the Ball GAA.
Now it's time for us to look forward to this weekend's All-Ireland Senior Camogie semi-finals. Both games are on Saturday at UPMC Nolan Park. We've got a repeat of the league final in the 3 o'clock game. That's going to be Galway against Tipperary. And then we've got Cork, who are many people's favourites to win the All-Ireland, up against Dublin, the winners of Division 1B of the league this year. Delighted to say, Killian Whelan, Camogie commentator, is here in studio with me. How are you, Killian?
How are you doing, Will?
And we're delighted that we've got Niamh Rockett, Waterford star, with us as well. How are you, Niamh? You keeping well?
Hi, Will. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I mean, Niamh, before we dig into the games themselves, can I ask you a bit about year this year? You had a change in management and a bit of a change around with players. And I suppose, unfortunately, we're not talking like we were last year about the run that you had back to Croke Park for an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I suppose it's disappointing having gotten to an All-Ireland final last year. And I suppose the display we put up in the All-Ireland final, we really wanted to right our wrongs from last year to this year. And then getting knocked out so early and looking, analysing the quarter and the semi-finals, I suppose, after the quarter-finals is a bit disappointing for us. Definitely, we want to be in the knockout stages. So I think everyone is a bit all over the place at the moment, having so much free time and time off.
Yeah, it's not the conversation you want to be having. You'd much prefer to be talking about playing in a semi-final this weekend. Like last year, I know ultimately the final didn't go your way, and sometimes that's a difficult learning when you get to the first final in a good while. But last season was a remarkable run for you.
Yeah, it was a very, very good run. We had gotten to the semi-finals the previous 2 years as well, so we were kind of thereabouts, knocking the door every year. And then once we got over that line against the Tipperary last year, beating them by a point in Nolan Park, we really enjoyed the lead up to the All-Ireland final, and it was great to see the promotion of Camogie and Waterford going so well. There were young girls going around the hurleys and young boys even going around the hurleys, and sure, it got the buzz around the county again. Given we don't get much success in Waterford, it was great to have that momentum going into the final. But it was a great year, and I suppose memories we'll have, but you definitely want to be thereabouts again next year and the year after.
Yeah, Killian, if we could start digging into this weekend then. We had a really entertaining league final back in April. I don't know how much this actually counts when you fast forward 3 months afterwards, but on that day, there was nothing really to pick between Tipperary and Galway. Tip got out by a single point. And Galway's form, since that league final in the Championship, I don't think Carl or the team would mind me saying this, has been a little bit up and down, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely patchy. But you could say that nearly about the whole Championship. I'm not sure the Championship really lit up after a credible league. I don't know how Niamh feels. She obviously played in it. But, you know, I thought the league was... We had a lot closer action. You had a couple of surprising results in some ways. And you got to see maybe teams starting to show their lot a little bit in regards to... You're kind of wetting the lips a little bit, kind of thinking this Championship is going to open up here. League final, very credible performance. You have to credit Tip, saw it out at the end. Galway had their chances close on, missed two late frees. So you were kind of aligning yourself. Yeah, these two won't be far away. Now, they're there again, but you'd have to wonder about Galway, what ultimately happened. But look, Colin Murray will turn around and say, well, sure, we're still in an All-Ireland semi-final, and that has got to be taken from that. Tip followed on that great form. You know, they were just electric then through the Championship. But I just feel, as I said, the Championship as a whole, like when you see the dominance of Cork and Tip in both of their groups, and then, you know, there was maybe the odd game then that was close or had a little bit of a bite in it or spice or whatever. I still am waiting for the Championship. You know, probably at the two quarterfinals in Croke Park, we got to see a little bit, and you'll be hoping then maybe that we'll see something in the semi-finals and final. But I would think overall a disappointing championship so far. But your original question was about Galway. I would think, yeah, it has been very bitty, and I do think maybe they started to feel the loss of a number of players. I think Aoife Donoghue was obviously a huge loss to the momentum of that team. He's starting to blood newer players. Now, obviously, they've been in around the setup and they've obviously lots of underage experience, but it was just trying to get that mix. And I think the fact that he had to go back and bring Niamh Kilkenny, Niamh Hanafy, you know, Anne-Marie Starr, you know, coax some of those along to come back and give their lot. And they probably were quite happy, I'd say, to be involved. Probably didn't think they were going to get starting spots, you know, but that's what's happened. But look, Colin will still turn around and tell us, I'm in an All-Ireland semi-final, lads. We're where we want to be. So what are you critiquing me over, you know? But yeah, it has been bitty.
Yeah, look, I suppose part of that, the amount of changes they made for the quarterfinal as well. Like, I don't know whether there's enough time maybe to find that right formula for the semi-finals. So they've had a few weeks now in between those games. So they were back the semi-finals of the hurling. So just to give you the context of how long it's been since they've played last. For them, is that long enough for them maybe to get the right mix for this, Killian?
I think so, but like Cahill has been on, he's been quoted before. He doesn't mind playing quarterfinals. There might be some counties that would kind of, you know, the direct route, and you know, get to the quarter, to the semi-finals, where they've been in UPMC Nolan Park for the last number of years. But he doesn't mind. He's been quoted a couple of times. He doesn't mind a quarterfinal because it's an extra game at Croke Park, and he thinks that's vital. And that could be something that might be vital to bringing some of those players. I think the performance in Cork, to me, you know, it was a case of, you know, there was kind of a towel thrown in early on. Once Cork started getting a bit of momentum, Galway didn't really put up much of a fight. And you know, maybe that result is going to be a bit of an anomaly. We'll know more this weekend, obviously. But, you know, I just felt that Galway, I think, you know, with Donoghue back in, and if they're starting just to get the mix right, you know, I do think they have enough time. Because, while it's surprising that they haven't been in a final since 2021, I do think they just have enough experience and talent that, you know, I think they'll have pulled everything together. And it seems like, you know, Dervla Higgins went off with an injury in that Cork game. She looks like she's going to be back in for the weekend and things like that. So, you know, knowing them, they're the old dog for the hard road. I think they've had plenty of time, you know.
Niamh, how much do you think that experience counts? I mean, Galway have been, you know, perennially, this panel at least, in semi-finals and finals. Their Sarsfields contingent have run off All-Ireland titles along the way, and, you know, they were very close to winning the league this season as well. How much does that experience actually count when it comes to Nolan Park tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose pace and tip as well, you know. They'll be looking to the likes of Aoife Donoghue, Killian O'Leary, Niamh Kilkenny, Roisin Black, Roisin, Aoife Keane, all these players now to really step up to the mark. Galway will be. And then you're looking at the other side then, and they have Tipperary, who are coming off a good league campaign, having the long break there up until the semi-finals, missed the quarter-finals, obviously, because they topped their group. But, like, it'll be a massive battle. It'll definitely be the game of the weekend anyway, Tip and Galway. But they'll be looking at relying on the same people again, like likes of Aoife Donoghue, who came on, or who started in their quarter-final. She was the one that eventually got player of the match and really drove them over the line. So I suppose when the chips are down, it's the leaders that you really look at, and the girls that have been tried and tested, and the ones that have, I suppose, been there and done that in the dying few minutes, knowing when they need to take a score, knowing when they need to run the ball into the corner, knowing when they need to bring down a player if they're going through, etc.
Niamh, is there a preference when it comes to a player for preparation for a semi-final weekend to have had that break? I suppose some of those teams will know how to manage it after they've topped the group. Other teams have said previously they love to play a quarter-final and actually be able to bridge that gap a bit. Do you think there's a better route towards a semi-final here, whether to be top or to have to play a quarter-final?
I suppose last year we had the break. We had topped our group as well, so we had the break going into the semi-final against Tipperary, and I suppose it worked out well for us when we won by a point last year. But I suppose it was pros and cons. But I know Tipperary, we had a lot of games in a short number of weeks. When we got to the Munster final, I suppose Cork were in a similar situation. We had 8 games in 9 weeks, so I think the break was well needed at the end of the championship campaign going into the quarterfinals. However, I think that Tip had a week off there after their last game. I know that they in the camp they had a week off, and then they trained hard for the last 3 weeks. So I would say that having the break, it really gets you focused on the game. I know when we were playing week on, it was hard to recover and then get up for each game. So I know it suited us last year. So I would say having a preference would be going straight into the semi-finals. But then you look at Galway, who played Cork in the last round of their championship, got a big beating against Cork and then came out and beat us in the quarterfinals. So that was a momentum boost for them, as opposed, I suppose, to going straight to a semi-final, having get a good beating from Cork. They got to get their stuff together. They got to get their players back in. And yeah, they really drove it into us then in the quarterfinals.
Killian, Niamh Mallum, quite the story for this weekend. Mm. So we remember when she used to play for Down and was such a key player for them. Transferred into Sarsfields while she was moving for work purposes. Joined up with the Galway panel. Got a bit of game time during the league. Will probably be a key player tomorrow afternoon. And then on Sunday, she's nutritionist with the Galway footballers for the All-Ireland final. So what a weekend.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't you love to write it, and wouldn't you love to have it? You know, Niamh, classy player, and you know, for a large number of years, obviously people would have talked about, you know, the talent that she had, and probably would have been obviously from one of the minnows, let's say, and no disrespect to Down, but she was, you know, showcasing her talent, and that opportunity. She's been in Galway now a long number of years at this stage, and when you think of some of the journeys she used to have to make to go back for training, even with club and county, it just, I suppose, has got to a stage, you know, where it makes sense for her. 218 she's got in this championship. She's been an able replacement for Siobhan McGrath. You know, I'm sure Cahill would have loved to have both of them there, but he has to make do. The only thing would be is that, obviously, I saw down in Cork, you know, Cork dealt with Niamh fairly well, you know, and she had a torrid enough time now with Mackey and Hayes, you know, at various occasions in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. So, you know, if Dennis Kelly and Tip have done their homework, you know, she's obviously going to be somebody you're trying to minimise her impact. So she's a credible talent. If she gets on the ball at all, she's going to cause problems. And I would expect her, you know, in an All-Ireland semi-final, she's going to be a key player. So, I'll be looking forward to seeing how she, you know, probably will feel disappointed in some games that she's played in the couple of last few weeks. So I'd say she's probably, you know, whetting the appetite, her own appetite for this weekend. Lots going on for her, but her focus, I would imagine, is going to obviously be Nolan Park tomorrow
afternoon first anyway. Niamh, with one hand it gives and one hand it takes away. So Siobhan McGregor's off travelling. Like, that's a massive loss, because she's been a key marquee forward for them. But to be able to bring Niamh in, I guess, I'm not sure it fully balances it out, but at least it's getting a good player in to try and replace her now clubmate as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, whatever way you look about it, she needs minding when she's playing in the corner forward position, full forward position. She's one of the players that we highlighted when we were playing Galway before the quarterfinals. So she has a deadly left side, to be fair to her. You know, she always favours her left side, and to try turn on that. But you can try to say that, try push her out to her right, but she's so accurate off her left. You know, it's very, very hard to contain her. As Killian Lewis says, she's up to getting 218 already, 212 maybe, 210 maybe from play already, so she does need minding. But Galway are so well balanced across the board. You know, Carrie Dolan will step up. Orla McGrath came on for us in the quarterfinals. Niamh Mallum, Ailish O'Reilly, another super player that's going to be playing as well. And you know, they're very, very well spread out. But definitely people have their homework done. I presume Clodagh Quirk will pick her up, or that's what I presume. The full back line there for Tipperary will be dogged tight, so I'm sure Tipperary will have their matchups well prepped.
Niamh, if you were the Tipperary management, where would you want Karen Kennedy playing? Because they've used her in different roles, and she's been forward maybe a bit more than where we would have been used to, where she'd kind of control the game from the half back line, but they've obviously felt they could get value out of her elsewhere in the field. If you were the management and you were picking where to play their captain, where would you put her?
Karen Kennedy's just a super, super player. Like, you know, she's athletic, she's strong, she never gives away the ball. And I think I've seen that we played against them when she played centre forward this year. I've also played against them because we have to face Tipperary last maybe twice this year already. And we've also played against her when she was playing centre back. And I think it's a lot easier to curtail her when she's in the forward position, because I suppose generally our forwards wouldn't be usually the man markers, as opposed to our backs would be man markers in Trent Taylor in the forward line. She's deadly going forward with the ball. She'll always do something really, really good with it. She'll deliver a ball into the likes of Grace O'Brien that's been in there and scored 5-16 already this year. So if it was me, I'd put have her centre back deep and cross front, because she'll always have the time to get back, and she's probably the most athletic of Tipperary six backs, you know, to get across, cut out that ball that's gone into Galway for forward line and really go forward with the ball past the midfield line. And often they're so well rehearsed, I suppose Tipperary are, there's always someone to cover her back there as well, you know. She's, it's really good momentum boost for Tipperary when they see her running forward with the ball and scoring or giving a pass off or whatever, you know. I think she's most dangerous playing in that centre-back role and sweeping across.
I think I'd agree on this one, Killian. I think it makes sense to have a player who can kind of control play from there. They probably call it the Declan Hannan role if we were talking about it in hurling, whereby you would want to get Kern on as much ball as possible. It's not just about trying to stop the attack, but she can distribute the ball out from there. Again, I don't know. The number that she's named in necessarily before the game won't necessarily dictate where she actually plays, but would you play her there, or do you think there's actually value in having her further up the field?
No, I agree with Niamh. I think, especially when you're taking on someone like Galway, and you know that on any given day, that if the Galway forwards all click, that it could spell danger for Tipperary. So I think Karen will... more than likely, anyway, I won't exactly put hundreds of bets on it, because then Dennis Kelly, I have to say, and his management team this year tactically have got so much right, and they seem to know exactly the game to move Karen into a different place or position. But I would imagine she's going to be starting at, you know, she might wear six, but I think at centre back is going to be it, and then use her influence from there, because as Niamh rightly pointed out, you know, she just has all the repertoire of passes and whatever, and she can, you know, diagonally set up attacks or obviously drive as well herself down the centre and be involved in 1-2 upper situations or whatever. But I think Karen, for me, effectively against Galway, she more likely would be in the centre back position.
Can you talk to
me on that as well? Sorry, yeah, on that as well. When often, like, we'd have the likes of Beth Carton playing in centre forward, who's a super player as well, but if you have the likes of Karen Kennedy in centre back, she's nearly looking over her shoulder in her own game, I suppose, as well, trying to stop and minimise Karen Kennedy's attack. So it kind of takes away from the forward that's going to be on her as well. You're nearly taking two birds with one stone, because the centre forward is there to nearly give her, to put pressure on her. You saw it similarly with Dublin centre forward Leafs as well, in the Kilkenny, when Kilkenny were playing Dublin this year. You know, they were put in to man mark the centre back and to try to cause the damage. Whereas I suppose when you're, if Karen Kennedy's in there, you're always looking over your shoulder saying, I'm trying to stop her to play, whilst also trying to play my own game as well, which is, I suppose, it's very rare in Camogie to have such an influential player that they're playing the back end. You're nearly worried about what they'll do as well.
Niamh, the expectation is that Cott Devan will probably come off the bench, and that's been the role she's had. And I know she had a bit of time out of the panel when she was getting married and was maybe late back in. I think it was late in the league when she rejoined the panel. There's part of me that wonders, you're better off to put her in to start, though, and see what you can get from her, because the games where she's been coming on, she's been having an impact. And anyone who even saw the viral video of her scoring the one-handed score a couple of years ago and the broken hurl score and all this type of stuff, like, you know what you're dealing with is going to be very difficult if she's in there occupying a defender.
Yeah, it's similar to the debate last week there with Ryan Taylor and Claire, whether to start the player or not to start the player. Do you know whether to, they're providing a massive impact when they're coming on, and then do you start them, do you not start them? But I think it's a great boost for Tipperary when they have such a good player coming off the bench every single time, that you know she's going to affect the game, you know she's going to do something. And I suppose the Galway defence will be looking at her when she comes on saying, right, how are we going to curtail her? What are we going to do here? We're looking across, I suppose, if you were looking across the board and looking at Tipperary's scoring line, like Emer McGrath, again, scored 3 goals this year already, as well as all her frees. Grace O'Brien's having a super year, 5-16 from play. Florida McIntyre, 2-10. You know, all their players are well able to score. Maybe we kind of lean towards starting her if there was an over-reliance on one or two players in that forward line. But having her to come on as a sub, I think, would be a big boost for Tipperary in those closing stages, especially after we saying about, you know, Galway having the experience and time down the clock and whatnot. So having Cott come on would be a big boost for Tipperary.
Yeah, I mean, that impact is there. We've been talking about that all week, about our man Galway and the Ryan Taylor debate about last week, after how well he'd played for Clare in the semi-final, and ultimately he'd be there as an impact player for the All-Ireland final. Is that the best way to use Cott then?
Well, the fact, and again alluding to what Niamh has said there, tips forwards have worked very well this year. When you look at the spread of scores, you know, you've had Clodagh McIntyre probably back to form that she would have had in that COVID year, scored a cracking goal, I remember, down in Clonmel, and really announced herself as a senior inter-county player that day. Obviously, you know, took a bit of time out, now back into the setup, is absolutely flying. I think has picked up a number of player of the match awards throughout the league and championship this year. Roisin Howard probably back into some of her best form as well. So I think the six seems settled. So I'd be surprised if Cott gets a start, unless it's a bit of a curveball in some way. And what a curveball to have if you have. So like, if she is dropped in there, one of those four, again, it would be a tactical decision. I think more like Niamh, I think we're going to see her off the bench. But like, what an ace to pull if you're in any situation, if you want to push on a little bit, maybe if the freeze, if the open play wasn't working for Grace or for Emer, someone like Cott Devan to bring in to swing a game for you. Absolutely, I think she will be held in reserve, I would be thinking.
Before we go on to predictions for this first game, probably the game of the day tomorrow, can you tell me about the depth that Tipperary have at the moment? Because I know you were in Ashburn for their Premier Junior, where they qualified to play Laois in Croke Park in a few weeks' time on the weekend of the 11th. Like, how do they have so much strength at the moment? Because you're going to the intermediate semi-finals tomorrow as well. Obviously, there must be incredible strength and depth in Tip right now.
Yeah, but I think Tip and a whole, and Niamh will probably know a little bit looking in over the border, that Tip seem on a mission. Tip Camogie is in a very healthy state, and they just seem to be driven. This junior title got away from them last year, and that really irked them. And you know, they want to have both teams in Croke Park again, so that'll be a major drive tomorrow. They just revamped the whole junior setup again a bit this year. Like, not too many of the players were held on to. There's a number of senior, experienced players have been brought into that panel. Bill Mullaney has them, you know, well drilled. Now, they were, I have to say, you know, they've had a bit of a task against Armagh. It was only definitely in the latter stages that they were able to pull away. The goal probably added a little bit of gloss in it from Jennifer Curry for Armagh. But, you know, what to put my finger on it, Niamh will probably know a little bit more. But they just seem to have got a buy-in, got commitment. But what they've done in the background, they're at county board level and everything, they just seem to have got their ducks in a row. And I think players have bought into that. I think there's a bit of also a little bit of pain in Tipperary that it's so long since an All-Ireland title was brought back to the county. And I think that's what's driving both.
Yeah, I remember last year was the 20 years when they were facing Waterford in the semi-final about trying to get back into a final. So we're year 21. He's put the pressure on to there, Niamh. You're meant to have an insight here on what Tipperary are doing at county board level, what the players are doing. So what's the insight? What have you seen over the border there?
Yeah, I suppose they're doing a big push on them and the rivalry now. So who's been promoting the best Camogie, I suppose, at the moment with Tipperary and Waterford at the moment now. But no, they're doing brilliant work. Their depth in panel of Killian Lewis, it was just brilliant. Like, they have likes of Treaty Ryan, Mary Ryan, Ethan McGrath, all girls of massive experience. They are caught the van to come off the bench, given their last game. They have a super, super panel. They have Nicole Welch back in the goal now, who was an outfield player, which is, I think, is a massive boost for them, because she knows what kind of ball to be given out. She'd be looking to Karen to go short for ball, coming out with the ball, and she's a great striking the ball to get out to her wing forward and get the movement going. But I do think that Tip is definitely on the up. They're doing a lot underage. Their minor teams are brilliant. I've seen them play a couple of times this year as well. And they're, as I said, as Killian Lewis as well, their junior team, they were playing last week in the semi-final, and they want to get back to Croke Park. So I suppose last year it was a lot of hurt. Even this year when we played them in the Munster semi-final, and they had won the Munster final last year. They had to give back the cup after our game, and you could see the bitter disappointment on them. Do you know, we played them up in Golden this year, and do you know, they really, really were hurting. So I think that they're really going to bring down the championship this year, and they're really going to push forward, to be fair.
Right, predictions-wise, Niamh, you can have first shout on this Galway Tipperary game. Who's going to Croke Park?
Oh, that's a tough one now, very, very tough one. I think that Tipperary are on paper there, and given their form, that they're going to go very, very far. I think that they're going to really, really push Galway to their limits, to be fair. And I do think that They all go off the same hymn sheet on the day and they really put their shoulder to the wheel. I think that they're really, really good contention to go to the All-Ireland final. However, I just think the experience from Galway, I think the couple of weeks break and getting their ducks in a row after the last couple of weeks, I do think that that will really stand to them. And I think that getting the win over us, I suppose, in the quarterfinal, it was nearly celebrated. Previous years, it wouldn't have been even celebrated getting to the semi-final, but it was nearly really celebrated in Croke Park there 2 weeks ago. So I do think Galway, if I was to really put my into the collar, I do think Galway will edge it out, just given the experience in that situation before. But I wouldn't be surprised now if Tipperary go with their best team, they get their players at the bench and show the form they're being given already. This will be the first big test for them for the year. I think that our group, they would have had like a couple of easier games in between. They had us at the very, very start and then they had Kilkenny at the end. But I do think this will be a big, big test for them. So I'd have to say Galway, but with Tip marginally behind it.
Killian, who's going through?
This one is very, very tight to call, and a couple of the Tip girls let me know when I predicted that Galway were going to win the league final, and subsequently, obviously, Tip were to win it, and I was asked why did they doubt them? It's Aoife Donoghue could be huge for this game in how it ultimately works out. The experience of the Hanafis, I think Niamh Kilkenny could have a major say, Anne-Marie Starr. I just think maybe the Galway defence is still not fully settled, and that might be the one thing that could spin it. I think they've had so much change there in that defence in the last couple of years. The only thing that might be another psychological thing is on Tipperary is the fact that the last final was 2006 and it's weighing on them a little bit now, and how they deal with that and how Dennis is maybe, I think they have enough talent to win. I think it's between the years might be the problem tomorrow, and I think that's where it's got to be worked on. Tip have only lost to one team this year, and that has been Waterford, and they've lost to them twice. They didn't lose to them a third time. They beat them, obviously, in the championship. So, but Galway, they have, beaten twice in the league final, and obviously in the group stages. So Galway are in that position now of not wanting to lose to an opposition three times. So that could be a major spur for Galway in that. Looking to get back to a final they haven't been in since 2021. Tipperary way down by a little bit of history, but I'm going to give it to Tip because I just think the forward unit is in a better, I think they'll beat the six backs of Galway. I think Karen Kennedy will major influence on that, and I'm going to allude to what Niamh said there as well. Nicole Walsh has been a master find for the goal position in that she has just that nuance of outfield play that she knows maybe the kind of attacks or ball or whatever to set up. So I'm giving, I respect everything that Galway have. I just think that maybe it's they're a little bit short of time, and I think Tip are just in a better position. But it's going to be between the 2 years is ultimately going to decide it.
Okay.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Killian, get us started on the first game there, Killian. So the 1:15 game is Cork and Dublin. This has been very much painted as David versus Goliath, despite the fact that Dublin have knocked Kilkenny out of the championship and kind of ground that result out. Is it a case of Cork's form just carries through here, or can Dublin actually spring a shock?
Cork are going to win the All-Ireland in my estimation. I they're such a well-oiled machine. It'll take some effort to stop them. I don't think Dublin are going to do it. It really, to me, for Cork not to win the All-Ireland this year, something's got to happen, Cork.
You're talking about an underperformance would have to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think whoever comes through, if it's Tip is in the final with them, they're going to have to bring their absolute A-game. I just think Cork are again, a very driven group, seem very much on a mission. I think it's they're not happy that it's just going to be, you know, we won last year and that took a monkey off their back a bit. They want to be, you know, setting out precedents now and maybe going for two in a row and whatever that sets up going ahead. I know they've had a change in management. They seemed a little bit unsure themselves in the league, but, you know, that was trying things out. Players were not fully there and whatever. So, you know, Germany, definitely since then the championship kicked off, they've just, you know, like, I think the highest score they've conceded is 1-7, Will. And, you know, like, it's phenomenal, the scores that they've put up. But that kind of alludes to the fact that maybe, you know, Galway was really going to be their only competition in the championship. And then Galway probably, you know, didn't, as I said, commit fully to that game. So, you know, that could turn around and say that, you know, was it all Cork? I think so. I just think they're so well structured and so well, you know, worked, they work so well together. Now, the only thing that might show a chink of light for Dublin is when Dublin played Cork, Dublin didn't really buy into that game, from my notes anyway, at all. They travelled with a small panel. They didn't bring everybody. I think they knew they'd already qualified for the quarterfinals, so they weren't going to overextend. They wanted, obviously, as much recovery time for the quarterfinal, whoever they were going to be playing. And that obviously worked, because they're now in the semi-final. But I think Cork would have to seriously underperform, and Dublin would have to be, you know, punching very much above, I would say, any performance they've given this year, if there's to be a shock.
Niamh, are you as confident as Killian would be about Cork putting in a performance tomorrow? I know he's just said there they'll probably win both games and go on to win the All-Ireland, but are you as confident as he is that Cork are, by a distance, the best team here?
I'd love to disagree with Killian after last year's All-Ireland final, I really would, but I just know after playing them this year and last year as well, they're just a different level. You know, their athleticism, their decision making, they know when to foul, when not to foul, they know when to carry, when not to carry, and I suppose what separates them from the other teams is they're not afraid to change it up, they're not afraid to take the risk. Say if they're going to give it out to the wing back and it might be a 70-30 ball, they're willing to take the risk because they'll bank on their backs getting back if they're overturned. I do think that they're a brilliant unit. They've, after bringing in a few players, Orla Cahalan this year into the forward line, Katrina Mackey and Amy O'Connor again are flying it up front, and then you're looking to the back line, Laura Hayes going down that left wing, like Saoirse McCarthy taking points from distance. You know, they're just they're very hard to control all over the field. I do feel bad in saying that, because Dublin, I always like to shout for the underdog, whichever is the underdog playing. I suppose everyone was shouting for Limerick to be knocked out this year as well. The same thing in the Hurling, but, and it was great to have two new counties in the final. But as much as I'd love Dublin to win, and I actually met Aisling Maher before the quarter final, and I was asking her about the quarter final and asking her how was she feeling, and I could get a sense of confidence from her going into the quarterfinal face with Kilkenny, which was brilliant to see. And I presume they'd relish in the underdog tag coming into it. Everyone was writing them off coming into the semi-final. But I do think that Cork's running game will eventually just wear down Dublin. You know, Dublin were strong physically. You saw the Gannons, they really put up to Kilkenny. Kilkenny be a strong physical team, but to mix the athleticism and the running game and the physicality, there's not many teams in the country can do that at the moment. And I think Cork, as Killian said, are just that bit above everyone else at the moment.
I think as well, Niamh, if Dublin are to have a chance, they need this to be low scoring and they need to be able to spoil what Cork are trying to do. And Dublin have a lot of their stronger players kind of in the middle third and around their half back line. I wonder if they carry enough of a scoring threat if this was to go into a shootout. I don't think they could go toe to toe for scores with Corker.
Definitely not. Like you saw in the quarterfinals there, Aisling Maher got fair to match with St. Sweeper, you know, and that was down to her free take. And I know she missed the penalty in the first half and a couple of scoring opportunities in the quarterfinal, but it was really the freeze that got them over the line. It was really that what kept them into it. I know they created a lot now, to be fair to them, going forward. Aisling Gannon was running forward. The Grace was running forward from the corner forward position. There's a lot of, they created and they missed a lot of goal scoring opportunities, to be fair to them, Dublin did, because they created them against Kilkenny. However, I just think all over the field, Cork have never really an over-reliance on free taking. It's similar to Tipperary, to be fair to them. There's a lot of other players stepping up to the field, and there's never really an over-reliance on or taking the frees or trying to win frees. It's not like we can, Dublin are going to say, look, if we try breaking down and try crowded out and foul them, you know, like they'll still convert to frees. Whereas I think Dublin on the other side, the experience and I suppose in these likes of quarterfinals, semi-finals as well, for a freeze, they want to kind of put a good spectacle on. And I do think that to leave the game free flow a bit more and to kind of, I suppose, increase the pace of the game, there will be a little bit more left go. And I think the reliance on frees in Dublin, that's where the scoring threat will be kind of taken away a little bit, I suppose, as opposed to Cork, having been there, done that, and know the crunch times and when to shoot, when not to shoot, when to take it on, when not to take it on, you know. I think the experience will come in massively for, especially Katrina Mackey, Amy O'Connor, those side of girls. And even if they even block out those two girls in the full forward line and they play Ashley Marr deep in front of that full forward line, the other girls, Saoirse McCartan, Hannah Looney, Ashley Thompson, Saoirse McCarthy, Laura Hayes, you know, they're just, they're, you could pick any amount of players that are just going to pop up with scores then when you're going back out a step as well.
Just before we finish, Cillian, I don't mean this to feel like a free hit for Dublin, but in a way, they will have achieved a lot of their goals already. So Division 1B of the league had a good campaign, got a bit of silverware there. They've knocked Kilkenny out of the championship. They've got to a semi-final. We know it's been a long time since they've gone to a final. This is their first semi-final now in 7 years. And they've got so much tradition. They're second to Cork on the roll of honour, but so much of that is back in the distant past. I'm not saying that this is, doesn't matter what happens in the game tomorrow afternoon, but Dublin will probably view this as been a fairly successful year overall anyway.
Yeah, well, when you consider where Dublin has been maybe in the last number of years, you know, things have been a little bit topsy-turvy for them and changes of management and things like that. So I would think this might be a year where they got things back on an even keel. You know, they're back up now in 1A next year and to push on from that. By the way, you know, I don't want anyone from Dublin that's listening out there kind of saying, huh, you know, listening to Cillian there now and Eve and Will, that we might not well turn up in Nolan Park tomorrow. Like, I think Dublin have talent that will hopefully get a chance to bloom tomorrow. You know, you mentioned some of the names there, but, you know, Sinead Wilde for me has been a huge acquisition from the ladies' football, played with a broken hand in that quarterfinal. You know, I think if she gets on ball, Aisling O'Neill, huge natural scorer for them. I think, again, if she gets it, Grace as well has shown, Grace O'Shea on occasion, you know, she was a star player for them in that Division 1B final and ultimately, you know, decided the game for them. Those players get, you know, and can back up Aisling Marr. I think that's the thing. It can't be all left to Aisling tomorrow, because I think Dublin may have to play nearly a double sweeper in situations. So they are going to rely on needing then probably four forwards to really be on top of their game. I would agree with you, though. I think they've achieved an awful lot, and I think their goal, you know, they're not probably going to say it publicly, but a goal tomorrow would be to make that game as competitive for as long as possible, because there are, you know, people there predicting that this could be an absolute cakewalk for Cork. So I think for Dublin, that's got to be the one of their targets. But, you know, when you have the likes of Jerry McQuaid, man who's been there and done it, was part of the Wexford management team that did the three in a row. You know, he fairly competent, Mickey McCullough and Bill McCormack, Mags Darcy in there as well. You know, like, they have a serious backroom team. You know, they're not going to Nolan Park to make up the numbers. Again, though, I think it's going to be a little bit between the years. I think Dublin are going to have to bring their best game of the year to beat Cork. And I think even if Cork are down a level, I still think they'll win it. So, you know, Dublin, yeah, credit them. It's been an incredible year. But, I'm giving you a tip already. It's going to be Cork game.
All right, Cillian. Thanks, Cillian. Niamh, great to catch up to you as always. Enjoy the games tomorrow.
Thanks, Noel. Thanks,
Gillian. Thanks,
Eve. Off the Ball's cash machine.
We've given away hundreds of thousands of euro across the Go Loud network of stations. For your chance to win, tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast, weekdays from 7:30 on the Off the Ball app, and we'll give you the all-important cash amount.
Oh, my God.
Off the Ball. GAA.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code PODCAST before checkout for 50% off your first week.